Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we declare on this day that you are great. You do miracles like no one else. You made ways out of no way. You opened doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. You've done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And we declare today we are grateful simply because you died on Calvary for our sins, placed us in right relationship with you. We're grateful because we can worship you today in spirit and in truth, knowing, O God, that you alone sit on heaven's throne, that you are in control of all things. And we're grateful today, God. Now, it's preaching time. And we pray, O God, that you will allow this word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We pray, Lord, that as we share your word, that they may see none of me but all of thee. And we pray you use me in such a way, hide me behind the cross, that you get all glory, all victory, all honor, which is already yours. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. Have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. And together, every child of God said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Good again to be in the house of the Lord. And we're so grateful again that God gave us yet another day's journey to worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you all for those of you who have logged in and tuned in with us on Facebook Live and on YouTube and on our our website channel. We welcome you in the house of the Lord on this day. Amen. We thank God for our music ministry. Amen. And grateful for their faithfulness on this day. On this day. It is the Lord's day. And we are grateful to be in his house on today. Listen, if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. We're going to begin a series out of the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to entitle this series, Answers to Life's Tough Questions. Answers to Life's Tough Questions. Amen. Habakkuk. And I know some of you all are trying to figure out where Habakkuk is. Amen. Get to Matthew and begin to turn just to your left. And you'll stumble right upon it after Zephaniah and after Malachi and Haggai. You'll stumble right upon the book of Habakkuk. My seminary professor pronounces Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Amen. We're going to read in our hearing verses 1 through 5. And it reads as follows. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquities, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. And so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounded the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Verse 5, the Lord answers, look among the nations and see wonders and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your day that you would not believe if told. I want to put a tag on this text. And start this series, Answers to Life Tough Questions. God, are you really there? God, are you really there? My brothers and sisters, whether we want to believe it or not, life is filled with questions. Many of these questions have been asked since the beginning of time, and many of these questions seem to be rhetorical without any conclusive answers. One of the great Christian myths that people believe is that when a person accepts Christ as their Savior, they find solutions to all of their problems as well as answers to all of their questions. And while it is true that salvation gives us the solution to our biggest problem, which is our relationship with God, there comes, when we get saved, a fresh new series of problems and questions simply because we're trying to follow the Lord. Someone said it like this: Christians who claim to be without problems or questions are either not telling the truth or not growing and experiencing real life. I like that, because when I come to the book of Habakkuk, I recognize that Habakkuk was not that kind of believer. He experienced real problems and he experienced real life. And as he surveyed, brothers and sisters, the situation of the land of Judah, he found himself struggling with some serious questions. John Phillips refers to Habakkuk as the doubting Thomas of the Old Testament. He wrestled with questions like, why did God allow the wickedness in his homeland to continue? And even worse, how could God allow a bad nation to be judged by an even worse nation? Habakkuk, we know, was a Levite, and apart from that and the book that bears his name, we know nothing more about this prophet. Habakkuk's message, however, was consistent with the message of Jeremiah warning Judah of the Chaldeans who would come to judge them for their sins. Habakkuk consists of three chapters, and he is considered a minor prophet. That does not mean that his prophecy is any less important than the major prophets. It simply means that his prophecy is shorter in quantity, but not in quality. The theme of the book is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, line 4, that suggests the just shall live by faith. And we know that that quote is quoted three different times in the New Testament, two by the Apostle Paul, and one by the writer of Hebrews. We know, beloved, that Habakkuk is known by Martin Luther as the one who was to take the people into his arms and carry them to God. Habakkuk would do so, but only after he found answers to the life's hard questions. And if you have asked yourself some of the most difficult questions in life, then the book of Habakkuk would be a blessing to you. One of the first questions that Habakkuk asked is, God, are you really there? What a profound question. What a profound statement, if you would, that Habakkuk simply brings up and suggests whether or not God is alive and well and interacting with his people. Are you there, God? Are you able to do something about the situation in which we find ourselves in? God, are you there? Listen, beloved, let's consider the question by noticing three realities that comes from the lips of the prophet. First, I want us to notice his perplexing burden. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. The book of Habakkuk opens with the compelling words in verse 1. It says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. The word oracle describes the weighty, heavy pronouncement of judgment that the prophet had to deliver to God's people. The word is translated burden. In other versions, it is like carrying a heavy load to someone, a load that seems impossible to bear on its own. It's like delivering bad news to someone. And listen, beloved, we are not left to wonder what is going on in the mind of this prophet. He is wrestling, even struggling struggling with this burden. For one thing, it was a burden that consumed him. It literally overtook Habakkuk. The name Habakkuk simply means to embrace, and that is exactly what Habakkuk did. He embraced this burden. He made it personal, and he allowed this burden to consume him. Now, what we need to know is that much of the burden was because at that time, Judah was full of sin and iniquity and strife. One commentator describes it by saying sin and iniquity were in the saddle, galloping through the land without hindrance. Listen, beloved, it is that sin was running rampant, and that sin and iniquity was taking over the prevailing society. Idolatry was the religious activity of the day, and the people had turned their backs literally on God. The poor were overcome by the rich, the needy were defenseless, and the defenseless were mistreated. It was a very difficult time for the people as well as the prophet. And Habakkuk was consumed with this burden because he was consumed with the sad condition that had befallen his people. Hear me, beloved. The truth is, very few people felt the conditions like Habakkuk did. He took this burden personally. Can I pause here parenthetically and said we ought not be too hard on Habakkuk? Listen, because the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, all of us know what it is like to be consumed with a burden. And if you don't believe me, Big Mama said, just keep on living. We know what it is, what it's like to be consumed with a burden, whether it's a wayward child, whether it's a loved one in a bad fix, whether it's a situation at work or a failing marriage, or maybe it's a scarred conscience from a painful past. Maybe, my brothers and sisters, it's the social injustice or a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic in which we find ourselves in. Whether it's an illness or a sickness that saddles our once strong stature, a financial pitfall, or even a personal blunder. Truth is, these conditions bear down on us like 100-pound weight. It consumes us. It is on our shoulders. It is a burden that it seems as if we cannot deal with. We go to bed with it. We wake up with it. We go to work with it. We come home and eat dinner with it. Then we turn around and go to bed with it again. And if I could put it in layman's terms, I would suggest it seems like this burden is eating us alive. I know I ain't talking to some of you all who have been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you ain't never had a problem in your life. I'm only talking to the one who have been shouldered with some burdens in your life that seemed as if it was too heavy for you to bear. Listen, beloved, I've discovered that there are things in our life that can consume us just like this prophet. And listen, beloved, it is consuming, overwhelming. It is an intense burden, a burden that consumed this prophet. But not only do we see that in the text, we see that it's a burden that confronted the prophet. Watch the text. Verse 1 describes the burden as one which Habakkuk saw. I wish I had a crowd in here that could just shout out, "Saw, saw." Where you are, just put it in the comment section. He saw the burden. In other words, beloved, this was a burden which Habakkuk sensed in his heart, but he also saw with his eyes. God gave him a revelation to see exactly what was going on. It was before him every day, and everywhere he looked, he saw the plight and the pilgrimage of his people. Every day he lived, he saw the pressures of the problem, and it was relentless. It was unyielding and harsh. He carried it with him day after day after day after day. It never left his side, and this burden never took a day off. You see, beloved, Habakkuk knew that the kingdom of Judah was rapidly deteriorating, and ever since the untimely death of King Josiah, who had attempted to lead the nation of Judah back to God, things only got worse. The religious reforms that Josiah had made were soon forgotten, and his son, Jehoiakim, went on to lead the nation away from God and closer to disaster. Habakkuk sensed and he saw the problem, and he couldn't understand why God seemed to sit idly by and allow things to deteriorate. And beloved, we see our society deteriorating around us every day. When, beloved, our young men and women are taken out consistently without probable cause, yielding only a bag of Skittles and a big gulp, we see, even with our hands up in surrender, our backs turned, or even in our own apartments, we see when society has its knee on our neck and refuse to let us breathe. Beloved, we see. We see when our country wants us to continue to fight for them when it is evident that they will not fight for us. We see. We see, beloved, when there is racial disparities, economic inequities, no hope for the homeless, a lack of medical for the poor. Listen, beloved, we see. And the question that a whole lot of us have to ask every now and then is, God, where are you? Where are you when we're experiencing this trial, these tribulations, this burden? And we recognize, beloved, that if something is going to be done, it has to be done by God. That we got to keep seeing the murder of our young men on the street corner, not by the other man, by the brother man, by the same one that looked like us. We want to suggest, God, where are you in all of this? When are you going to answer us? When, beloved, where are you, God, when our young girls are looking for love in all the wrong places and they find themselves entering in a conversation with the OG on Instagram or Facebook, and in a short time she's been snatched up and held up in some remote hotel only to be scarred for the rest of her life. It's a perplexing burden, and that is all the stuff and more that we have to experience. And Habakkuk saw it, and Habakkuk was consumed by it. And listen, beloved, Habakkuk asked God, how can you idly sit by when all of this is going on? Where are you, God? It was perplexing for Habakkuk, and beloved, it is perplexing for us as well. From Habakkuk's perplexing burden, we move to see his personal battle. Listen, beloved, again, Habakkuk means to embrace. The prophet embraces the burden, but he also embraces the one who could lift the burden. By turning to God, one would think that Habakkuk would find some sense of relief, reprieve, or liberation, but it seemed that he was battling with it even more. This flies in the face of all those individuals who claim that once you come to God and you have faith in God, there will not be any questions in life. That ain't the case for real Christianity. Real Christianity. Christianity says, I got questions. I want to ask some questions. And I love the book of Habakkuk because Habakkuk's feet is firmly planted on solid ground. He battles with it even though he goes to God. He deals with it even though he cries out to the Lord. He has questions even though he is talking to the one who put the cosmos in action. His personal battle, listen, consists of three stages. Let me throw these at you real quick so I'll get out of your way. The first, to the prophet, it seemed that his prayer was unheard. That sounds personal to me. It was a personal battle, and it seemed like Habakkuk's prayer was unheard. Watch verse 2. We hear Habakkuk saying, O Lord, How long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? The word cry is used twice in this text, which indicates the intensity of Habakkuk's prayer. The first word cry means to cry for help. The second word cry means to scream with a loud voice and disturbed heart. In other words, the louder and the longer Habakkuk prayed, he walked away with the same answer. It seemed that his prayers were falling on deaf ears. It seemed as if God was not listening. It seemed that God had a hearing problem and God was silent to the prophet's cries. Apparently, Habakkuk had prayed about this matter for some time because he asked God, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? How long shall I call on your name?" Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is he prayed, he cried, he begged, and he pleaded with God, only to feel as if his prayer was unheard. He felt that his prayer was unheeded. Habakkuk had prayed his heart out to God. I hope somebody hears me today. He prayed that God would do something about the violence, the strife, and the injustice in the land, but God didn't seem to hear his prayer. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I can testify to the fact that I have walked in the same shoes as this prophet. Listen, beloved, there have been many times that I've cried out and called out to God only to walk away feeling as if my prayer rose no higher than my head, as if I was praying just to be praying. I know I ain't talking to those who act like they ain't never had problems, but I'm talking to the one who've been crying out to God for solutions for some situation, for some relief, from some refuge from some problem, and it seems as if God is not hearing. A number of years ago, I came across a profound statement that says, prayer is where burdens are lifted and changes shoulders. Now, that sounds good, but beloved, burdens, in other words, that statement simply suggests prayer is where burdens are lifted off of our shoulders and placed squarely on God's shoulders where they belong. But if we are honest as a Christian, as a believer, there are times when we bring our burdens to the Lord and it seems as if God is nowhere to be found. We prayed, we pleaded, we persisted, but there seems to come no answer. And if you have ever been at that place, or if you are at that place right now, let me give you a word of encouragement. Here it is. I'm about to drop this on you. Listen, beloved, keep pleading, keep praying, and keep persisting. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Keep calling on the name of the Lord. Keep calling out your burdens to the Lord, and don't give up. Don't give in, and don't give out. Listen, beloved, whether we know it or not, you better recognize our God is not deaf, and he will only be silent for a season. I know I'm right about it, because between Malachi and Matthew, God was silent some 400 years, but after God spoke up again, the Bible declares that he spoke up by bringing Jesus onto the scene, the one who would heal all blinded, who would heal blinded eyes and make the dumb and the dumb to talk and the deaf to hear. He is the one who got money from a fish's mouth. He is the one, beloved, who would feed 5,000 on a hillside with a little boy's sack lunch filled with tea cakes and sardines. Listen, beloved, he's the one who not only came to this earth to show us eternal life, he died on an old rugged cross. And if I had time, the old preacher used to say it like this. He died until the sun dripped like blood. He died until those in Jerusalem got up out of the grave and began to walk. He died until the centurion says, surely this must be the Son of God. But not only did he die, the old preachers used to say it like this. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Listen, beloved, it may seem as if God is silent, but hold on, keep on praying, keep on persisting, keep on pleading, and eventually you will recognize God is not silent forever. Are you listening to me? I've discovered that God's delays are not always denials. So when prayer seems to go unheard, don't give up. Keep looking up. Is that all right to say? Put that in the comment section. Don't give up. Keep looking up. Is that all right to say? Habakkuk's battle intensifies because it seemed his prayer was unheard, but it seemed also that life was unfair. Boo-hoo, he's crying. Listen, that life is unfair. The battle continues in verse 3. Why do you make me see iniquities? Watch the text. And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arises. Listen, everywhere that Habakkuk looked, he saw violence, he saw civil injustice, he saw iniquity. The rich again were oppressing the poor, the nobles were ignoring the law, and the land was filled with strife, and the text says contentions. Listen, beloved, Habakkuk saw evil in the saddle and foresaw it riding on to victory. The word see in verse 3 indicates that God was the one who caused Habakkuk to behold what was taking place in the land. In other words, beloved, God stopped Habakkuk dead in his tracks and gave him a front row view of all of the iniquity, all of the grievances, all of the violence and strife and contentions in the land. He found himself in a perplexing crossroads, and it seemed as if life was unfair. It is the ideal that Habakkuk was praying through his pain. He was crying out in his suffering, affliction, anguish, and agony. And listen, those who know personally and experientially about suffering are witnesses that if you suffer long enough or deep enough, if your suffering is extended, there is something about suffering that will make you cry out. I wish somebody would help me. There is something that will make you understand just how hard life can be. I wish somebody would help me. And it seems as if we are asking the question, Lord, why is this happening to me? I understand and I get that. It makes a whole lot of sense to me because we want to look at what others are going through, and because they are not going through what we're going through, we simply say, why me, oh Lord? Why do I have to experience this? Well, let me just help you real quick and ask you, why not you? Why not you? Why not you go through this? And why not you go through that? Simply, what makes you any different than anybody else in life? And the truth is, the same God that is with someone else while they're going through their troubles is the same God who declares he will be with you. The same God that brought others through is the same God that can bring us through. And no matter what the challenge or difficulty is, we all have to rely on the same God. And do I need to tell you, the God that we serve, he got got all power in his hand. He's omniscient and omnipotent. He has all power in his hand, and there is nothing that is too hard for God. And here we are talking about life is hard, but let me just help you real quick. Everybody got something in their life that they have to struggle with. I don't care how much money they got in their pocket. I don't care how big the Bible is on their kitchen table. I don't care how big the cross is around their neck. Everybody got something that they struggle with, and to them, life seems unfair. Why did I have to lose my loved one? Why did I have to lose my job? Why did I wish somebody would help me, have to go through this illness? Why? Because God wants us to rely on him. I know I'm right about it. I ain't making this up. The truth of the matter is, beloved, I've come to discover that life can hit us hard. And when it does, it seems as if life is fair. I believe, beloved, that Habakkuk understood that. He saw that, beloved, this personal battle was because of a prayer unheard. Life was unfair. But I believe his biggest battle was simply, it seemed as if God was unconcerned. Type that in the comment section. It seemed like God was unconcerned. Watch this. The Mosaic Law was the very foundation of the Jewish national life. But Habakkuk declares in verse 4, he says, watch this. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surrounds the righteous, and so justice goes forth perverted. The word paralyzed simply means powerless. In other words, the nation had deteriorated by the time Josiah had come to the throne, that not even one copy of God's law could be found in the land. It had completely vanished, and as a result, the temple had fallen into despair, and every form of wickedness prevailed in the land. If the people knew the law of God in their heart, they certainly did not live by the law of God. It had become paralyzed. It had become powerless. And yet, through all of this, God seemed to be unconcerned. The rich kept on taking advantage of the poor, and the land was filled with unimaginable wickedness, and the law of God was slandered, slighted, and defamed. The law was powerless in its precepts. It was worthless in its writings. It was ineffective in its instructions. It was helpless in its hope and empty in its teachings. It was fruitless in its guidelines. But the greatest tragedy to Habakkuk was that God was sitting idly by, allowing it all to fall apart at the same. Habakkuk simply was suggesting or asking God, if you're so good and gracious, how can you allow these things to continue? Listen, beloved, to be honest with you, looking at the day in which we live, we often ponder the same questions. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right about it, because we live in a day where the law of God has apparently become paralyzed. Our society has set God's law aside and, beloved, come up with its own rogue rules and regulations in which to live by. For we live in a society where things are tolerated in the name of personal and civil rights. All the while, it seems that God is sitting idly by and allowing our nation and our world to run full throttle toward a way that seems right to man. Hear me, beloved. You remember God's word to the wicked society in Genesis chapter 6, line 3, where God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." It was, beloved, God's way of telling us that there will be times when God allows man to lie in the bed he has made for himself. That seems to be what society, what's going on in our society today, in our land. It could be simply that God is allowing the land to have what she has chosen for herself. And the truth is, even in our nation, we shown the majority don't want God to be part of the judicial systems. We don't want God in the educational system, and we just certainly don't want God in the economic system. We don't want God messing with our money. And the truth is, since we don't want God in those places, we cannot blame God. The same holds true for the church of God, who wish to exalt their agenda rather than embrace God's agenda. Simply, beloved, when that happens, God has packed his bags on the church, moved down the street, and wrote Ichabod over the door of the church and removed his spirit. When we want to do what we want to do instead of what God wants to do, you better recognize that the God's spirit will not strive with man. Are you listening to me? And don't fool yourself, just because you got 1,000 people in your church, that mean that we are doing everything right. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, when it matters more who is singing, and it matters more who's reading scripture, and we're so worried about if usher number one or usher number two is going to usher this Sunday, listen, we're missing the main point of what God is trying to do with this world. When we're only worried about the color of carpet, I wish somebody would help me, instead of the carpenter who came to die on Calvary. When we're worried only about, I wish somebody would help me, annual days, then the annual day that comes every Sunday morning, where we get to worship and lift up his holy name. When we want our agenda, then God's agenda, then we better recognize, beloved, it will seem as if God is silent in our situation. Hear me, beloved. Habakkuk is trying to find answers to extremely difficult questions. He is crying out to God with a perplexing burden. He is fighting a personal battle. But then, beloved, hallelujah to the Lamb, in verse 5, he uncovers a promised blessing. I like the way Oswald Sanders put it when he said, the very fact that God lays a burden of prayer on our hearts and keeps us praying is the first evidence that he purposed to grant the answer. Listen, beloved, such seemed to hold true for Habakkuk as well. After wrestling with his burden and after warring with his battle, a ray of light seems to shine through the vast darkness. For one thing, beloved, Habakkuk received a divine word of revelation. He received a divine word of revelation, because here it is, after 4 verses of complete and utter silence, in verse 5, God finally speaks. Watch what he says. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. In other words, although unknown to Habakkuk, God had been watching over the entire situation. I wish I could say that like I feel it. In other words, God was seeing, he was watching the entire time. It wasn't that God was just being silent, absent from what was going on in that situation. No, God was watching the whole time. He says, look among the nations and see wonders and be astounded. Watch what he goes on to say, for I am doing. I like that, beloved. In other words, he's been right there the whole time. Unbeknown to Habakkuk, God was there. He had heard the cry of the prophet. He had seen the burden that gripped his soul. And now he answers Habakkuk's prayer in a way that would leave Habakkuk speechless. God gave Habakkuk a revelation, but not an explanation. I like that because, beloved, the truth is what Habakkuk really needed was not an answer to his prayer. He needed to see God being God all by himself. He needed to see that God still sat high, but he looked low. He still needed to recognize that God was still God. The truth of the matter is, beloved, for all of us, we need to get this, write this down, because listen, God doesn't owe us any explanation. Are you listening to me? He gives us explanation every now and then, but I'm grateful that God blesses us with revelation. In other words, he blesses us not with explanation all the time, because we don't always get the answer to our questions. Why? Why did you do this? And why did you take my loved one? Or why did I lose my job? Or why? No, but what he does do is give us a revelation of himself. And listen, beloved, I have often wished that God would lean over heaven's gate and say, Kenny Ray, this is what I'm doing, and this is why I'm doing it. But I have learned to love, what I've learned to love about God is that there have been times when he simply helps me to take my eyes off of my perils, my problems, or my predicaments. He helps me to take my eyes off of my pressures and my problems. He helps me to take my eyes off of my difficulty and my dilemma. He helps me to take my eyes off of my pain, of the pressure that I'm going through, and he helps me to put them upon the only one that is able to bring me through, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He helps me to deflect what I'm looking at so that I look at the one who is able to keep me in the midnight hour. Are you listening to me? I've often wanted God to let me see and let me understand, but God doesn't always let us understand. He just gives us a revelation that he is still God. And I hope somebody hears me today, because listen, it's the idea of looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. In other words, he doesn't give us explanation, but he gives us revelation of who he is and what he can do. Anybody know him for yourself? Anybody took your eyes off of your problems and put them on the person of Jesus Christ? You prayed about it and God simply told you just to trust me and I will make a way. And I'm glad about it, beloved, that I don't just get explanation, but I get a revelation where I'm looking in the eyes of Almighty God, who's got all power in his hands. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that today because, beloved, the truth of the matter is I've come to discover that when it comes to God, listen, somebody needs to know that if you're facing something that has taken the wind out of your sails, quit trying to make sense of it. Cease trying to find an answer to it. Just look to Jesus, the one who is and forever will be. Not only do we see, beloved, God not only revealed his divine word of revelation, but there was God's divine work of exaltation. I like that because, listen, beloved, when we look at that, the fact of this promised blessing, we see God's word of revelation, but we see God's work of exaltation. Verse 5, he says, for I am doing a work in your day that you would not believe if told. If I told you what I'm doing, he says, God says, you wouldn't believe me. If I showed you everything that is about to happen, you would simply suggest that can't be possible. Are you listening to me? What I'm going to do, God says, is going to amaze you. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be unheard of, that you won't believe it even if I told you. Listen, this is one of the major keys to unlocking the book of Habakkuk. God is setting forth his way, his will, and his work in the Lord, and he gives us insight into what he's doing among the children of men. God is declaring that although the prophet didn't understand it, see it, or discern it, that he was active all the time. He reminded the prophet that he was not silent, he was not slumbering, nor was he sleeping. He was still on course to do what he had set out to do, and what he was going to do would astonish the prophet. Hear me, beloved. God reveals his divine work of exaltation to remind the prophet that when he's finished, all of the glory is going to go to him. Are you listening to me? He's going to do it in such a way that the prophets and the nations and everybody around looking would say it was nobody but the Lord. That they would have to say, look what the Lord has done. No one would be able to take credit. No one would be able to put their name on it. No one would be able to put their stamp on it as if they had done it all by themselves. And listen, beloved, I remind you today, my brothers and sisters, regardless of what we're fighting, regardless of what we're facing, regardless of what we're feeling, you better recognize God is not silent or idle in the heavens. He is simply has his own method by which he works and moments by which he works. Listen, I'm glad that our God is not in a hurry. Are you listening to me? He's never behind schedule. He is never late. As a matter of fact, we say it like this: God may not come when we want him, but hallelujah, he's always right on time. Am I right about it? Listen, beloved, hear me and hear me good. He will answer prayer. He will solve problems in a way that is unusual as well as unexpected. And it will be in a way that would bring glory to himself. And listen, hear me good. God is still in the driver's seat. Preach, Reese, I just tried to do that. Hear me, beloved. I'll give you this little illustration and I'll let you go. There was a man who was learning to fly an airplane, and during one lesson, the instructor told him to put the plane into a steep and extended dive. And after a brief time, the engine stalled and the plane began to plunge out of control. The man who was being instructed lost control. And as soon as it became evident that the instructor was not going to help him at all, after a few seconds, which seemed like an eternity, the man gained his composure and quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, the man turned to the instructor and began to vent his fearful frustration at him, yelling at him. And so the instructor very calmly said, "There is no position you can get this airplane into that I cannot get you out of." I like that. I'll let you go. Hear me, beloved. That's what we hear from God. There is no position, if we serve him, there is no situation that we can get into that God cannot get us out of. If we just trust him, if we just lean on him, somebody knows, everything is going to be all right. And listen, it may seem like life is spiraling out of control. It may seem as if while we're paused in this pandemic and while we're sheltered in place, while we may have lost jobs and loved ones, listen, beloved, here's what we got to know. We got to trust God, and we got to know that if we trust God, there is no situation that God cannot get us out of. So the answers to answer Habakkuk's question, God, are you there? And I would answer this, yes, God is there. 1,000,000,000 times, yes, God is right there watching over us and maneuvering, making things happen that we do not know of high in the heavens. And if God told us what he was doing, we would not believe him. Am I right about it? Hear me, beloved. The truth of the matter is there's nothing out of God's sight. He is where he is supposed to be. He is on the throne. He is still in charge. And hallelujah, if we trust him, everything is going to be all right. There is no burden that God cannot lift. There is no problem that God cannot solve. There's no situation that God can't make right. Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is he is a bridge over troubled waters. He is help in the time of trouble. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's a friend when I need a friend. He's a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. He is an omnipotent God, and no circumstance can restrict him. No adversity can hinder him. No situation can constrain him. No power can control him. No enemy can defeat him. No obstruction can block him. And no force can limit him. God is right here. We ask the question, God, where are you? And I want to answer that tough question in life to let you know God is right here. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love you so much. And we have to admit, Lord, that we are falling at times under a perplexing burden. When we see our world and our society, when we see what's going on around us, when we see the injustices and the maladies of our society, and we cry out on a regular basis, it seems as if there is no answer from above. Well, we're grateful today, Lord, that as we look at Habakkuk, that you are doing a work that even if you revealed it and showed us and told us every single detail, we recognize that we would not even believe you. So, Lord, we pray even on this day, do what you do. Have your way, not only in our life, in the life of our world, in the life of our nation, even in the life of our church. Because we realize, oh God, that it does not yet appear what we shall be. Touch someone who might come to know you today in a very real way. In Jesus' name we pray. And together every child of God said amen. Let's give God some praise. Listen, as the musicians play softly, at the beginning of my sermon, I said to you, life has questions. And as we go through the book of Habakkuk, we prayerfully will try to answer some of those questions. Here's what we do know, that there is a God who loves us enough that even though we're bogged down with a burden, we're perplexed by problems, God is a God who says, I want to be with you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And listen, beloved, there's someone who are listening to me today. You've tuned in on the internet. You've been watching from afar. But you know in your heart that God is speaking to you right now. You've tried to handle the burdens of life on your own, and you've tried to answer these questions that have come up about what is going on and what is happening. And listen, beloved, here's what I want to tell you, that the real answers only come from God. The government can't give us answers. Society can't give us answers. Black Lives Matter can't give us the answers. Listen, what we do know is that God knows all things. And not only does he know all things, he's willing to walk with us through life's journey. And so if you're listening to me today and you don't know the Lord for yourself, or you want to get to, and you want to get to know him today, listen, there's a number that's going to flash across this screen. It's going to roll across the screen. And I pray that you call that number. And if you call that number, someone will pick up the line and they will gladly lead you through the word of God and let you know what God's word says about salvation. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to help you. He wants to walk with you. And you've been trying to walk through life all by yourself. But there's a God who knows all, understands all, and has all power in his hand. And he says, I want to be in relationship with you. Listen, call that number. I pray you call that number and allow the Lord to come into your life. But secondly, if you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, I already know God. I confess Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I'm without a church home. I don't have a place that the people of God can put their arms around me to help me to grow and to mature in the Lord. Let me just help you real quick. You might find a church just as good as St. Paul, but you won't find one any better. This is a good place to call home. This is a place where the people of God will help you to grow and help you to mature in the Lord. Listen, so same number, call the number. You already know the Lord, but you need a church home. Today, your search can end. Listen, this is a place that we're going to hold you accountable and help you to grow in the Lord. So if you are out there, call that same number and someone will help you to lead you to be a part of this church family. Let me just whisper a quick word of prayer for you. Lord Jesus, touch now those who need to make a decision. You know what's going on in their life. You know what they need, not what they want. You know what they need. And we pray, God, you help them to make that call on this day in Jesus' name. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise be to God. Listen, that concludes our service for today. Two things, and I'll let you go. Listen, I want to remind you to give, and I know it's difficult. There have been Sundays that I've had intentions to give while I've been here, but this pandemic has caused some strange stuff to happen that we can even walk out of here some days and not put our offering in the plate because we done forgot, because there's no offering plate to pass around. It's just discipline, and I've learned that for myself, that either I can be disciplined enough by using my phone or writing a check and sliding it right into the office. There are five easy ways that we've created to give, and you can find them those things on our website. You can do it on your smartphone, on your iPad. And I want to just encourage you to keep giving, because your sacrificial, generous giving helps us to carry out the mission and the mandate of our church. So thank you in advance for what you're doing. And I want to suggest to you that God has been good, even in this pandemic. And I want to just encourage you to keep doing what the Lord has placed on your heart. For the believer, we start at 10%, and we know that 10% is something that is an Old Testament standard, but if it was good under the law, it ought to be just as good under grace. Are you listening to me? So let's give, let's keep on giving. And then I need to give you a couple of announcements, and that is this, that we are still vaccinating our community. We are a vaccination site, and on Wednesdays, we had a very low number the last 3 weeks, and so June 2nd, unless we increase the utilization, we know that we probably will have to stop because no one's coming to get vaccinated. I just want to encourage you, those of you who haven't gotten vaccinated yet, settle that with God. I know. And the quicker we all get vaccinated, the sooner we will be back to somewhat normal. It will never be back to where it was, but will be somewhat normal. Now, I know the CDC say you all can take your mask off if you've been vaccinated, but Kenny Ray gonna keep his mask on for a while. I wish somebody would help me. And then also, we're still COVID testing every Friday. And so it will be rapid testing starting this Friday. And that means that you can get the results within 15 minutes. So you come and it'll be rapid testing. Also, we're starting a food box giveaway that we're partnering with the Food Links organization. These food boxes will be given away every Friday. Every third Friday in the month, starting Friday, May 21st at 9:30 a.m. And the distribution will occur in the parking lot, and the boxes will be distributed by first come, first serve. We're trying to help the community, so I pray that if you are in need of food, not greed, but in need, help me hear somebody, we want to help you. And then our scholarship program is coming up. I want to remind you to give at least $2 a Sunday or $58 a year. And listen, this year alone, hear me, all of last year, we raised about $4,000. But this year alone, we have raised for scholarship over $22,000. Keep giving. And we're only in the first quarter, going into the second quarter of the year. Listen, that's good news, because our goal is to build a foundation so that we can continue to give to our children on an ongoing basis as long as they remain in their undergraduate collegiate days. We want to help them so that they can testify that my church helped me consistently. Is that all right to say? Amen. So keep on giving, and I pray you do that in Jesus' name. Listen, I'm done. Enjoy the rest of your day. This is the Lord's day, and let's enjoy the rest of our day. Hopefully, we got some something good to eat at home, and if not, go to your favorite restaurant. I wish somebody would help me. Enjoy the people around you, and God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before your throne of grace, unto the only wise God be power and dominion, hence now and forevermore. And together every child of God shouted, amen. Amen. We'll see you next week.